Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of 2 Peter chapter 1, we were talking about the difference between just knowing what to do and doing it. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We had an Opal Cadet when we first moved to Ocala in 1967. Now, I had just graduated from high school, and my dad moved to Ocala, Florida. And I remember that he was out working on the car one afternoon, and the hood was up, and there was a bar that was underneath the hood that you raised, and it would hold the hood up. And it did, and my dad was leaning under the hood to fix something. Well, when he raised up too fast and too high, and he hit his head on the hood. Now, what was happened next was that he grabbed his head, and then his face turned red, and I could see the look in his eye, and he reared back, and he slapped that hood as hard as he could. Now, if that had been a living thing, that car would have been dead. I mean, you could see murder in his eyes. You could see that he was thinking, it's the manufacturer's fault that I hit my head there. And boy, he hit that hard, and then he grabbed his head again. Now, I was a teenager. I was 18 years old. Do you know what it is like to laugh very hard on the inside and to try to keep a straight face on the outside? You know, sometimes to keep from laughing, you will place your tongue into the side of your cheek. And I was about to stretch my skin out of joint. I was just sticking my tongue so far in my cheek to keep from laughing. Now, there was a reason for that. I didn't want to die laughing, okay? I still feared what he would do to me if he caught me laughing at him. Now, I knew not to laugh on the outside. And you know, Peter is using the word know in the same manner here in verse 12 to tell these folks that these things in the first 11 verses aren't new, and they know how to conduct their lives as a result of this knowledge. Now, my friend, do you know how a Christian should live? Are you living that way? For example, charity. We're to add to ourselves in verse 7. Well, if it's true charity, then it overcomes gossip, griping, holding grudges. And you see, when you are gossiping and you're griping and you're holding grudges, that tells us there is a problem in your heart with charity, agape, God-like love. And that will stop you from being fruitful, and you become barren in the work of the Lord. And then we look there and we see also here in our text of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, and in verse 12, we see this word established. It comes from a Greek word meaning to make stable, to place firmly, to set fast. Do you have a knowledge of the Word of God, of doctrine? Do you know how to live your life according to sound doctrine? Christians should witness and not lie. They should be godly, not worldly. They should be faithful, not spasmodic. Do you know this? And more importantly, do you do these things? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And this passage lets us know preachers need to remind us what we might call even the simple things in order that we do not get lazy and forget them and no longer exercise ourselves in them. Now, some have grown forgetful. When is the last time you witnessed to an unsaved soul? When is the last time that you were having personal devotions on a regular, everyday basis? When is the last time you invited someone to Sunday school and church that God's house may be full? When is the last time you saw another brother or sister in Christ beginning to backslide and become unfaithful to God and His house, and you tried to bring them back? You see, perhaps we've all lost our memory on these things. And with a loss of remembrance, there's also a loss of reverence toward God and His house. Now, notice in verse 13 here of 2 Peter chapter 1, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So we see the second thing about remembering. Stir you up. I think it meet. That is, I think it is very fitting. Now, stir you up comes from the Greek word meaning to wake up, to awake. It's what you military men found out the first day of boot camp about waking suddenly. It wasn't gradually. When that sergeant yelled, "Hit the deck," you didn't say, "Oh, well, okay, Sarge, 5 more minutes." Okay, you knew better. Now, go back with me to verse 8 of this chapter. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a wonderful promise. Let these things abound in you. And it's better for you. Are you abounding in the work for Christ? Or do you really only go through the motions? Would you describe what you're doing for Christ as wide awake service? You see, I'm afraid that some are growing spiritually senile and forgetful in the things of God. Now, my friend, understand, we will give account of ourselves unto God. And then he says finally in verses 14 and 15, he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." So finally he says, remember, although I'm leaving, I don't have to be here. Let the Word of God and the instruction of God and His Holy Spirit in you bring you to remembrance. In John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, we read this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, of course, this is the conversation of Jesus with Peter. And Jesus told Peter before Jesus ascended into heaven that, okay, when you get older, you're going to die. And basically, he's telling him he's going to die by crucifixion. And this is the way in which he would glorify God. And he should follow him from this point forward. Now, Peter knew for many years then how he would die, and he accepted it with rejoicing. But verse 14 here now of our text is showing that Peter is at the end of his life, near the end of his life, he's giving his dying wishes. It's been said the deathbed is usually where men tell the truth and show their heart. Well, Peter knows he is soon to be put to death. This is Peter's swan song. So he tells them, remember doctrine. Remember grace. As a matter of fact, when the last verse that the Holy Spirit gives Peter to write in this book is 2 Peter 3:18, and the instruction, remember this, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says he is putting off this tabernacle. And that Greek word for tabernacle is the same word for tent. And that word is used of the body, the present physical body, this mortal body. It was used to describe the body of Paul, of Peter. It was used to describe the body of Jesus in John chapter 1. And this is true of all of us. The bodies that we now dwell in is really only a tent that one day we'll put off. This body is placed in the ground, not our soul. You see, our soul does not sleep. One preacher was confronted by a man one evening that said, he felt that the soul and the body were a part of each other, and that when the body dies, the soul dies. The soul goes to sleep. And so the preacher asked the man, he says, well, when you lay down at night, which end of the soul is under the covers and which part of the soul is exposed? Well, of course, that kind of makes you realize that there is a difference. You see, my friend, the resurrection, when we speak of the resurrection, that pertains to the body. The soul never sleeps. Peter says, as long as he is in this tabernacle, he said, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to keep you in remembrance. And in verse 15, he says, even after he's dead, after my decease, he says. He said, I will keep preaching to you after I'm dead. You know, some of you hear some great old radio preachers, Oliver B. Green, Lester Roloff, perhaps McGee, and some others that have been dead. They've been off the scene for a few years, and yet they still speak, and they're putting us still in remembrance. And it just goes to prove that if you preach the Word and you stick to the Word of God, it'll be very pertinent in any generation. You don't have to come up with a new speaker and a new message. The Word of God is an eternal book. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.